to put off weight. Don't wait to put off weight. I think that'll make more sense in just a little bit. But I thought, because it's been such a delay, because I've been out of the pulpit, that I wanted to maybe set the framework by making sure we understand the purpose of the book of Hebrews. And I thought about doing it in this way. How many of you have your calendar or your reminders and everything on your cell phone? How many of you have that? Okay. So here's Brother Chris up here. I'm glad he showed some of you what a 3x5 card is, because had you not seen it, you probably would not have any idea what it is. Because most people here, Chris, are thinking about, do I have IS 11.4, or am I up to the 12.0, or whatever it is. I don't even know all the numbers. But I want to pick on the youth pastor. You notice that he can sing and do a lot of different things. I hope you check Facebook out. But you put everything on your phone? Okay. Well, I got a deal for you, brother. I got a deal for you. It's called a day timer. Have you ever seen one before? You have? Okay, you seen it. Now, actually, I was looking for my black leather day timer that's put out by the day timer company, but I must have decided if I didn't get rid of it, I'd probably revert back to it. You know what I'm saying? But if I offer, it's even got my name on it. It's Marble Memo One, hardcover. I mean, pretty impressive, wouldn't you say? All kinds of space to write stuff in there, and it's, let me see your cell phone. It's smaller, it'll fit in your pocket better. It has got tremendous features. And you know, Joe won't say anything, but he'd say, no thanks, Pastor. I mean, give me a break. Who wants? I had to work hard to find this morning, I tell you the truth. And what's the point? The whole first 10 chapters of the book of Hebrews is, why in the world would anybody revert or go back from what Jesus Christ has done for us? He is the superior sacrifice. He's the superior priest. He's superior to Moses and the law. He's superior to all the angels in the universe. He is the ultimate. He is what you and I need to stay focused on literally all the time. And just as Joe wouldn't care about this little old cardboard day timer that I had, it's amazing, though, is it not, how we can revert back and we can depend on old things. And that was what was happening here. These Hebrew believers had been scattered all over the Middle East. And if you remember right, they were under tremendous persecution, tremendous pressure. And when those kind of times come, there is a tendency, and their tendency was, well, maybe we ought to go back to the Judaistic ceremonial type system that we came out of. And it's never the right answer. And so that's what the first 10 chapters of Hebrews was wanting us to see, the superiority of Jesus Christ above anything else. That's a good reminder for us today. There are a lot of things we like in this world, a lot of things that we relish and enjoy and do that, but I hope none of them take the place of the Lord Jesus Christ. If so, you know what the Bible would say? You've developed an idol. And idols are a terrible thing. They're the ultimate slap in God's face. They're basically saying, I don't want you, God. I'll settle for this poor, temporary, going to quickly vanish away substitute. But then you remember we got to Hebrews 11. And Hebrews 11 is all about those great saints from the past that did what? They walked by faith. And the importance of faith is now being focused on in these chapters that we're in Hebrews. And we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 12 this morning. And we had focused on one thing already. I'll briefly touch on that. But if you're there, Hebrews 12, listen to the first three verses. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Lord Jesus, would you guide our thoughts today? I pray that right now we know that your word is perfect. We know that it wants to accomplish much. I guess our prayer would be, and my prayer would be, that my heart would be open to what you have for me. Lord, there may be some right now that are bitter. I pray that that could be confessed so that we can hear from you today. Lord, we see the problem of besetting sin here, and we realize how you have provided a way for us to confess our sin, and you are faithful and just to forgive and to cleanse. So I pray that you would do the work that only you can do as we spend this time looking to you, the author and the finisher of our faith. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, you remember that this Hebrews chapter 12 has a specific occasion, at least in the first part here, a specific occasion of what's being spoken of. And you notice there, I just read it, where it says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And here's the occasion. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us. We want to talk about that race a little bit today. And I remind you that although we don't know for sure who wrote the book of Hebrews, the Apostle Paul, on numbers of occasions in his epistles, referenced races. And we understand that in those days, in the Greek games, Romans, they were big on athletics, big on track and those kind of races, kind of a thing. In fact, in 1 Corinthians, it says this, that we need to be focusing on running to win. Running to win. When you think about a race, you're not thinking about going out and doing a little jogging on Saturday morning. You're thinking about a big, big, big event. Something where lots of people are there. You probably have to get an official number and be recognized and all those kind of things. There's an official starting line. There's an official finish line. There is a path. There is a course that you must follow to stay within the rules. And so it becomes very important for you and I to understand that every single one of us, younger person, older person, we're all in a race. In fact, I don't think that we would be off base here to say that it is a race of faith. It's how our faith is directing us through life on a daily basis. Philippians says this, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have run in vain. You know, there are a lot of people that are living life from a total vanity standpoint. No purpose, no God, no vision that life is so short. It is like a vapor, James says, and it vanishes away. And how important it is for to live and understand that God has not planned us for a temporary life, but for eternal life. Everybody is going to live somewhere, either heaven or hell, forever. It's hard to calculate and compute, isn't it, forever? I mean, that's way beyond our ability to think, but how important it is for us to understand. So notice here in Hebrews chapter 12, a couple of very important things. Notice it says, let us. Let us. Do you see that? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. It is a, I noted here, it's a group race. It's a race that everyone can win. Unfortunately, when you do some kind of a track event, there's only one winner, only one. But in this race that is being spoken of in Hebrews here, the race of faith, is a race that every single one of us can win, and God wants us to win in that aspect of living. You know, we are reminded that back earlier in this book, we had a great definition of faith. Faith is the what? Substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And you and I need to make that choice. Let us choose that you are going to walk by faith. In fact, I believe the writer here is making this statement indirectly. You are not in the race if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can't be in a race of faith, a spiritual faith walk, without putting your trust in Jesus Christ. And this morning, if you are here and you would say, well, I'm not sure I understand all that's involved in that, we would love at the end of the service to take an opportunity to talk with you about getting in the race. Because the race of faith is the race that's going to count for eternity. You know, I used to think that the greatest thing that could happen to Bob Francine is that he would be an Olympic athlete and be able to stand on the top platform and they play the national anthem. I can't tell you as a teenager how I thought about that. And I was involved in sports as a teenager, high school and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, that wasn't for me. But God says there's a far more important platform. And that platform is called heaven. And it's designed for as many. He's prepared. It's not limited in size. You don't have to worry about a quota. You don't have to worry about, oh, there won't be enough room. No, there will be room. The question is, have you gotten in the race? Have you chosen the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says, whosoever shall what? Call upon the name of the Lord. Can be? Maybe? Will be saved. You can be saved today. You're not saved by coming to this church. You're not saved by living in America. You're saved by acknowledging your sin. We're all sinners, aren't we? And acknowledging that there's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Jesus is the only bridge, the only way. He's the only race that makes any difference. And so I want to encourage you to get in the race. But I would also tell you that Hebrews is written to a group of people that are believers. But I don't know if you've ever seen this happen. But there are people that start races that don't finish. Give up. Quit, get discouraged, all kinds of things. And I'm not implying you can lose your salvation. But you know what all of us have the potential of? Not finishing strong. You say, well, Brother Francine, I'm getting old. Hey, listen, I can relate. I can relate. And things aren't as easy as they used to be. I particularly found that out recently. I told my son, Carl, I said, Carl, you've got a 16-year-old son, and I haven't felt like a grandpa for 16 years until April 17th and forward here. I really feel like a grandpa. I feel like I walk like a grandpa and probably talk like a grandpa and probably do a lot of things like grandpas do. And I'm not demeaning grandpas. I'm just simply saying I have a better appreciation and a better connection with that very thing. But the other thing about a race that I think is important is that a race implies, I wrote down here, strenuous effort. Would you agree? How many of you have ever run in some kind of either a track event, younger days, or maybe even younger ones even now, or run in one of these events like they have? We have the Hospital Hill Run, and we have other runs. How many of you have ever done that? Okay, several of you have. And you know that for the most part, you don't go out and decide to run in that race the day of the race. You're spending weeks and months ahead of time disciplining yourself and working toward getting ready. Discipline, discipline, discipline. And you've got to follow the rules. You've got to stay on the course. And you've got to be disciplined in all that you do if you want to be successful. If you want to be successful. Is it no different in the Christian life? And that's what this text is speaking about, some important disciplines that we must have. Because you understand that if the occasion that the writer is speaking about is the race of faith, he's also reminding us that in this race of faith, there are, and this is my second point, there are obstacles in every race. So I want you to note, if you will with me, the obstacles are pretty clear here, but it says in the middle of verse 1, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. And how important it is for you and I to understand the obstacles. And, you know, probably the thing that maybe spoke to me, and this is a familiar passage, and I'm sure many of you have read it many, many times, is there is a clear distinction here between two kinds of what I call obstacles. There's weight, and there is sin. Would you see that there? Seems very clear. So if you and I are going to be a winner in this race of faith, we have got to lay aside. And I think it's interesting, if you look that phrase up in the Greek, that phrase doesn't just have the idea of, oh, I'll set it there. You know the problem with setting something next to you? You can what? You can pick it back up, can't you? No, the idea here is I lay it aside and I push it as far away from me as possible. As possible. So the obvious question comes up, what is weight? What is weight? W-E-I-G-H-T. You see it in the text. The word in the Greek is orchon, O-R-C-H-O-N, and it literally means bulk. Bulk. It makes sense. I mean, have you ever seen an Olympic athlete run any race in their work boots? Have you ever seen an Olympic athlete decide, you know what, it's a little chilly today, I think I'll keep the sweatsuit on as I run the 100 meters and try to be the fastest man in the world? No, they never do that. They never do that. They want to get rid of anything. And by the way, those things aren't sinful. Work boots aren't sinful. Sweat clothes aren't sinful. They're not bad. They're just not what was designed for running 100 meters. You just can't do that. You've got to have the least amount of resistance, the least amount of weight that you can get. So I want us to think this morning for a little bit. You know, notice my title of my message is Don't Wait to Put Off Weight. The question is, are you running the race of faith with any weight this morning? And to be honest with you, I think every one of us, if we do some honest reflection, some honest examination, would have to say there could be some things in our life that are causing us to be weighted down and not doing what we need to do. I read an interesting quote, and see if I can find it here on my sheet. It was, put on your wings and take off your weight. Put on your wings and take off your weight. It's the idea that God has given us wings, hasn't he? We talk about Isaiah 40, 31, and the eagle as a picture of a bird that soars above typically any other bird because of the size, the dynamics of their wings, and all that God has made them, and the importance that God wants us to live life flying by faith, living for him. In fact, I sat at First Watch restaurant last week. Dr. Jim Tillotson from Faith Baptist Bible College came through, and it was a pretty remarkable story. He was on his way to some camp in Utah, and he was asked to speak at this Christian camp because it's a camp designed around horses and horsemanship. And this week coming up that he's speaking is a week that the only people invited are Mormons. I thought, wow, that's interesting. Would they come to hear preaching? And he said, no. But he said, what they do is they have a pretty famous group of people that are teaching about horsemanship, and they will come for that, even though it's clearly stated in the literature that there will be two Bible lessons every single day, Monday through Friday. And he's going to be the preacher to preach. And, you know, as I thought about the importance of you and I running the race of faith, I thought how important it is for us to get rid of anything that would keep us. You know, I am sure there are a lot of Christian groups in Utah wishing they would have some impact on the Mormon cult community. Don't you think so? If you've ever been out there, there's lots of Mormons out there. But you know what? Somebody had the wings of faith to say, you know what? I'm going to find something that would attract them, that would bring them in. And from what I'm told, there's hundreds of them that come. Literally hundreds of them that come. And I hope you will pray with me. I've been praying since I met with Jim Tillotson, praying that God would open up hearts. I know he'll give the gospel. I know that he'll teach the Bible. But I pray that they would receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you think that is the purpose? That's really what we're talking about here. And somebody out there decided to lay aside any weight, any hindrances like, well, we can't reach them. That's too hard. They wouldn't come. It's amazing what we can convince ourselves not to do. But God is giving us the prompting to walk by faith. So as we think about that word weight, we understand it's not sin. So what is really weight? What is weight? Well, I would remind you that in the context of Hebrews chapter 12, and actually the book of Hebrews, the weight would be them going back into the Judaistic, legalistic, rabbinical tradition, Sabbath observances, priests, rituals, ceremonies. It's that very thing. And that's why Paul says in Galatians, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? They were challenged to go back and to do things that they used to do. Their old life, their old traditions, their old way of trying to reach God and please God. We are saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And yet, faith doesn't ever stand alone. Genuine faith, and this is why James, one of the big points in James is, faith that's genuine faith does work for the Lord, do what they are supposed to do. And so we see here that a weight could be anything, could be any old traditions, old ways. Have you ever talked to somebody and they say, boy, I'll tell you, my church just doesn't seem to preach the Bible anymore and doesn't seem to really be gospel focused. And you say, well, why do you stay there? Well, my parents grew up in the church, and I grew up in the church. And is that a reason to stay? Huh? Are you with me? Do you realize your family could become an idol? Do you realize there are families that are living idolatrous living today because they put their family above the truth of God's word? All you got to do is read Matthew 5. Read a number of passages in the gospel. And so it becomes very significant. But I wrote down a few other things. I wrote down a weight could be anything that, and I use this word, and I want to maybe explain a little bit, could be anything that's amoral that could become sinful. So I wrote down a couple of three things here that might be helpful. Is money good or bad? It's amoral, right? We'd all agree with that? Okay. And so we all need money to live. We all need money to function. I don't know anybody that says, oh, I don't need money. I don't care about that. The truth is it's an important aspect of living life no matter where you live on the planet. So we'd say it's amoral. But do you realize that money right now could be a weight to some people in this room? You say, how could money become a weight? Because all your time is spent on thinking how you can get more. In fact, the Bible would describe it this way. The love of money is the root of all evil. So something amoral like money could become a weight that's keeping somebody from going forward. I have had, through the years, young people that have come to me and they desire to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can tell it's in their heart. They want it. And then they say something like this, but I just can't afford it because of the debt that I have. Wouldn't you say it's become a weight? Pretty quiet in here. Can't that be a weight? Well, how about maybe let's cover something else, maybe a little more, well, about as universal as money, but what about habits? Habits. Could our habits become weight? I talked to a man not long ago, and I said, brother, I'm missing you on Sunday night, and Wednesday night you always came faithfully. What's happened? He kind of looked down, and he said, well, I've just gotten out of the habit. Just gotten out of the habit. Isn't it amazing how habits have a tendency to many times be as negative as they are positive? And God wants us to not let any habit that we have become a weight. Do you realize we're all exposed to things through our eye gate? And the truth of the matter is, there are any number of things that we see on a regular basis that could become a weight to us. Instead of propelling us on wings of faith to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, they are causing us to think about wrong things. Do you realize, men, I talked to you here this morning, real open and real frank. Do you realize what Job says? I made a covenant with my eyes that I would not think upon a maid. You realize what Job is saying? Job is saying, you and I probably aren't going to, particularly in the day and age we live, we're not going to be able to free ourselves from immodesty. But we can decide what we think about. Did that make sense? It is really quiet. Is that hard? Weight's heavy, by the way. When we look at what the outcome of weight is here in just a few minutes, we're going to see that weight's a big deal. And but notice that, and I need to move on here, not only is there weight, but there's also besetting sin. That word besetting is the idea of entanglement. Have you ever been entangled in something? And you just virtually feel trapped, feel like you can't do anything. And I want to remind you that every besetting sin has one common feature. It's called unbelief. And you realize in God's economy, there is nothing worse to God than unbelief. Because a besetting sin could be, we could name all kinds of things that are besetting sins, couldn't we? But if you think about it, the reason they beset us is because we place them as a greater value to do than obeying what God says to do. Therefore, we are showing what? We're showing that we don't believe God is true. And so I just want to encourage us. Sin constantly is knocking, isn't it? Have you ever had a day when sin wasn't knocking? I don't think it's possible. Sin is there every single day, wanting us to listen to it, wanting us to obey it, wanting us to do it. And you and I need to constantly focus ourselves on saying, wait a minute, we are not going to let any weight, any potential thing that could be sin, or sin itself, keep us from walking by faith. Faith is trusting God. So we see the occasion is the race of faith. The obstacles are the weights and sin. But there is an ultimate objective here in our verses. Look with me, would you please, at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That looking there, have you ever noticed that there's all kinds of ways we look? Sometimes we glance, you know, a quick peek. Sometimes we maybe look a little more diligently. And sometimes we really look to get everything out of what we're looking at that we can get. That makes sense to everybody? Yeah, I think that's true. This is that, and I jotted a couple things down here. This is a look of intensity. This is not a glance. This is a stare. This is runners in the context of this being a race illustration here. This is in the context of a runner not looking to the obstacles, but looking to the finish line. I got a kick, and I say that sarcastically. I got a kick out of physical therapists. I can guarantee you, in some respects, they have a mission in life to make life tough. Okay? Really, they do. And so I'm figuring out how to walk again, and one day, this physical therapist, who was very encouraging, nothing but a bright light, brought out these hurdles. Now, you know, I did a little hurdles in high school, and they were, what, probably 24, 30 inches high. I forget what the height was. These were only about that high. You know what I'm talking about? And she'd put them out there, and my goal was to step over them and to walk from this end to the next. And it was a vivid reminder that I couldn't focus on the hurdle. I had to focus on the space between the hurdles and the ultimate space after the last hurdle, that if I wanted to accomplish things. And yeah, they have a belt on me, and you know, they're there so you don't fall, crash and burn, all that good stuff. But you realize this kind of looking here is the kind of looking that's deliberate, it's intense, and it is a look that says, that's the goal. That's what I want to be like. And are we not commanded in Scripture to put on what? The Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be like Him in every aspect of living. He's the perfect example. You know, the problem with all the examples that we can see around us is that sometimes we can be encouraged and sometimes we can be discouraged. But Jesus, as an example, goes far beyond that, because he is not only the author of our faith, he is what? The finisher. He's the finisher. So he's not just, oh yeah, Jesus did this, this is what I need to do. He is a Jesus that, Lord Jesus, you suffered tremendously for me. I can take this suffering because of what you've done and what you're even doing right now through me. So he's not only the example of somebody that we should follow, he is the energizer, he is the provider, he is the strength, he gives us the grace to do what we need to do. That's why it's such a blessing here when Hebrews talks about being the author and the finisher, not of our physical body, but of our faith. He wants us to finish strong. He wants us to finish having greater faith at the end of our life than we had at the beginning. And I see faith as being very progressive in that, you know, I mean, when you're first a believer, you might have faith that the Lord's going to just do something small. And then the further along you go and you see how faithful our God is, what do you see? You see that God is faithful in everything, the little things and the huge, big things. He is the ultimate finisher. And he wants us to be strong finishers as well. In fact, I wanted to reflect back for just a minute. In Hebrews 11, the Bible says, without faith, it is impossible to what? Please God. In Mark chapter 1, God says this, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. What did God say about Jesus? He well pleased the Father. You know what that says about Jesus? Sometimes we think, well, Jesus is God. He can do everything. I'm not God. No, he was a 100% human and 100% God. He walked by faith. You think it took some faith to trust? In fact, we could look here, the end of verse 2, who for the joy that was set before him, there's faith. You and I don't look at a cross and say, joy. But Jesus was able to look past that, and he said, endured the cross, despising the shame, the spitting, the beating, the mocking, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. There wasn't one exception when Jesus was on planet Earth that he didn't please God, which means he constantly walked by faith. That's the challenge for us. That's the challenge for us. That's the challenge for these Hebrew believers. They had lost sight of who Jesus is and what he can do, just as can happen to us. In fact, John says it this way about joy. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy might be full. God wants us to be the kind of finishers that basically do two things according to our text. Number one, we get rid of anything. Right now, if the Spirit of God has been speaking to you about something that's a weight in your life, you're going to have an opportunity to push it away today. Maybe both in your thinking and in your doing. I don't know. I hope both. But you and I aren't going to be strong finishers by letting weight and sin bog us down. We're not going to win the race of faith. Faith is looking to Jesus, who not only authored and provided that we could have eternal life, But he wants to help us finish with that kind of strength, that kind of determination, that kind of focus. And you know, Jesus right now is seated at the right hand of God. In fact, all those witnesses that were talked about there in verse 1 and verse 2, those aren't witnesses that are up there in heaven cheering us on. Because I want to remind you, when we're in heaven, we're not going to be earthly minded. We're going to be focused on who? The Lord Jesus Christ. It's like what Fanny Crosby said when somebody said to her, "Oh, Fanny, I'm so sorry you had to be born blind. You've never seen anybody." She said, "Oh, no." She said, "Don't think about it that way. It's the greatest privilege in all the world because the first person I'm ever going to see is Jesus." What a perspective. She was looking to Jesus, wouldn't you say? How about us? How about us? That's what's going to make strong finishers. Looking to Jesus. "Well, Brother Francine, you don't know how hard I have it." You're probably right. I probably have no idea. But I remind you this morning, God's word says, look to Jesus. Pray to Jesus. Read your Bible. The fellowship of his suffering, Philippians talks about. So, if you and I are going to have wings as eagles, we're going to fly by faith throughout our life. I just wrote down three action steps. Number one, and maybe foundational, are you in the spiritual faith race? There could be people sitting here today that have never, ever put their trust in Jesus Christ. I invite you to do that today. Not asking you to join our church, not pressuring anybody into anything. But we would be glad to take a Bible one-on-one and show you specific verses. I've quoted a few, but we'll show you specific verses how you can be certain when you leave this place that you're going to be in heaven with the Lord Jesus Christ. The second step is, if you're a believer today, don't wait to put off weight. Don't W-A-I-T to put off W-E-I-G-H-T. And those weights can have all kinds of names, probably pretty acceptable names. "This is my favorite hobby. And if you were to name it, I doubt if it's sinful and wicked." But be careful. Even good hobbies could become weights to your spiritual walk of faith. Are you with me today? You understand? And I realize the vast majority of people here are believers. That's why I titled the message, "Don't Wait to Put Off Weight." And the third thing I wrote down here, are your eyes, your ears, and all your senses focused on Jesus as your strength, your wisdom, your perfect example? You may have lost track in this distracting world of who Jesus is and what he can do. I invite you today to respond to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand together, could we? With heads bowed and eyes closed.